From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. Africa has declared a public health emergency as a new strain of the Mpox virus is hitting that continent hard. So what does this mean for the rest of the world? Joining us today to talk more about this is Dr. David Pate, the former CEO of St. Luke's Health System and co-author of the book, Preparing for the Next Global Outbreak. Dr. Pate, nice to have you with us.
Thank you, Gemma.
And folks, remember, if you have a public health question, you can always send us an email, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. So, Dr. Pate, remind us what Mpox is.
Right. So, Mpox is the new name for what used to be called monkeypox. It was inaptly named because we did first detect it in monkeys, but the reservoir where it hangs out is not monkeys. It hangs out actually in rodents, and it is particularly been endemic in the Democratic Republic of Congo, which is mostly rainforest type environment, and it's been those rodents that have carried it. It's just that that virus is able to jump from rodents to other animals, including humans. What that virus does is when it transmits to humans, it causes pox-like lesions, like big bumps that you would see on the skin, typically on the head and the arms, the hands, feet, that kind of thing. And they can be fluid-filled, blister-like lesions, but people get fevers, they get aches, and in some cases, it can kill patients.
Okay, and so there's a new strain of Mpox in Africa that is causing concern, but I wanted to note really quickly, we had an Mpox outbreak here in the U.S., did we not, about a year and a half ago?
Very good memory on your part. Yes, we had a explosion of Mpox cases, which was really quite surprising because Mpox up to this time has particularly been limited to just a few African countries. It's not really been a big deal, but you're right. In May of 2022, we had a global outbreak, particularly in gay and bisexual men who have sex with men, not exclusively, but predominantly in that group. And we had, in fact, the United States ended up being one of the countries with some of the highest levels of cases. And we also had quite a few deaths. But this new virus, as you said, is a different strain and it's behaving differently.
Okay, so talk to us about this new strain and what we know about it so far.
Right, so the strain that we dealt with in 2022 to 2023, in fact, we still have some cases, that's clade 2 is what it's called. We don't call them strains, we call them clades. This clade is clade 1. And we have known for a long time that clade 2 produces milder disease. The clade 1 historically has caused up to 10% of deaths in those that it infects, whereas clade 2, it's been more like 1%. Now, this new strain is a derivative of that clade 1 called clade B, 1B. 1B. And what the difference is it all of a sudden has been increasing in very large numbers. We have over 27,000 cases that we know of, likely many more. And what's different is where before this virus had pretty much stayed contained to the Democratic Republic of Congo and to some extent in Nigeria, it has now spread rapidly to 15 African countries, which is what caused the African CDC to declare a public health emergency yesterday. And then the World Health Organization just declared it a public health emergency of international concern, and rightly so, today.
In fact, Dr. Pate, the World Health Organization declared this a public health emergency, I mean, minutes before we came on the program today. And
that's right.
And with, okay, so with that said, just to put this in perspective for folks, and this is reporting done by ABC News, they're saying just this year alone in the Democratic Republic of Congo, there were more than 14,000 mpox cases, 524 deaths. But as you said, this is growing rapidly and hitting other countries. So with that said, the World Health Organization, this was an emergency meeting that they convened. And their concern is that because this is spreading so rapidly, that it may not stay contained to the continent of Africa?
Yes, that's, and I think they're exactly right. When it was just limited to the DRC, the rainforest country, that's not a high, and in fact, they've had a lot of conflict going on there. That's not a place mm-hmm. that most tourists are going to go. But once it's in Nigeria, that is a major economic hub with international airports. And what we know is that it's just a matter of time. And so I think they're right with the rapid explosion of cases. And we're confident we're undercounting because Africa does not have a good health care system in place in general. They're under testing. There's going to be cases that aren't getting to their attention. And so it's probably much more. I think they're right, given the rapid growth of the cases, the spreading to like 15 countries that we've never seen this before, and the fact that we don't have good testing. They don't have antivirals there. They're not, haven't yet, but they're going to start vaccinating. This is a real threat to the rest of the world. And it's acting differently than the monkeypox we saw in 2022.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about that, because as I mentioned, I mean, you co-authored a book about, you know, preventing the next global outbreak, because it is likely a matter of time. With the World Health Organization getting involved in this and declaring a public health emergency, look, I think there are a lot of people who think this is in Africa. I don't need to worry about this. And I'm not saying folks necessarily need to worry about it, but maybe we need to be mindful of it. And I hate to use the word pandemic since we've been through one. But what is the likelihood that we could see another pandemic? But I would assume maybe not on the same levels as what we saw as COVID.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that the chances for this to become a pandemic are certainly increasing rapidly because of how we're seeing this spread. So I think there are certainly chances that this will become a pandemic. This will be very different than COVID. In the case of COVID, we had a virus, that the SARS-CoV-2 virus, that was predominantly spread in aerosols through air. And there was a high frequency of asymptomatic disease, which makes it really hard to control. This disease would be much easier to control. And in fact, prior outbreaks have been pretty rapidly controlled. The problem has been just what you said, Gemma, that we have to change our thinking. There were a lot of countries around the world thinking, oh, well, this is just Africa. This is a problem there. It's not going to be us. We have to realize the world is very interconnected. And mm-hmm. we all know people that travel to Africa, whether for business or vacation. And so the risk has really gone up. The difference with this than the 2022, whereas people didn't get real excited about that because it was mostly affecting gay men, this virus is showing a propensity to transmit with heterosexual contact. And if that were to get into the United States, then the question is two things. One, most pox viruses do also transmit by air. So could this? We don't know that. It looks like mm-hmm. it's possible, but not nearly as efficient as what we've seen with other viruses. And then the second thing is, could we actually then humans do reverse zoonosis where we infect the animals, and then could it become endemic here? That's a long way down the road. The mm-hmm. best thing right now is the international community come together. Let's get Africa Africa the vaccines they need, the tests they need, the antivirals they need, and let's try to contain it before it becomes this. But if we don't rise to the occasion, yes, there's a significant risk.
So with that said, Dr. Pate, you just said vaccines. So this is something also that was different from COVID. There is a two-dose vaccine, right, that's already been approved by the FDA, correct? And this is to prevent smallpox and mpox?
That's right. And it works for both. And we had success. We rolled that vaccine out in 2022, which really helped bring that outbreak under control. So we have the vaccines. Now, the problem is they're not authorized in all countries for children under 18. And children do disproportionately get infected with clade 1 viruses. This is a derivative of it, so we don't know. And they also, they're at much higher risk of dying than adults. So it's serious, and we need a vaccine for kids. The country of Africa just approved those yesterday, that there are two vaccines that they're going to now roll out under their version of authorization, where they can be tested and see how they work for kids. That would be a big help in preventing this from becoming a bigger outbreak.
So bottom line at this point, Dr. Pate, what do folks need to know about this and to just have on their radar about this?
The big thing at this point is for our partnership of our CDC with the African CDC, which the African CDC is quite good. And so it's really just our CDC partnering with them. The United States is already donating vaccines to the country. That's what we need to be doing. The idea is let's contain it in Africa before it does become a problem for everybody else. So we're doing the right thing. If you're traveling to Africa, then obviously you need to take some things into consideration depending on exactly where you're going. But with the rapid spread, you would have to be concerned almost anywhere you're going to travel in Africa right now.
Dr. Pate, one of the issues I wanted to talk about next is Listeria. There has been a fairly significant recall of Boar's Head deli meat all across the United States. This is to do with a Listeria outbreak that they've linked back to a processing plant, I believe in back east, I believe in Virginia. So far, three people have died from Listeria. So let's just begin with the basics. What exactly is Listeria?
Yeah, so Listeria is a bacteria. It's called Listeria monocytogenes. And it is a bacteria that actually likes the cold. And it grows best in cold and even freezing temperatures. So when we do see foodborne outbreaks, and that's usually how we see it occur, we worry about things that are in the refrigerator or the freezer. And so milk and dairy products, there's been certainly it can be a risk for raw milk. It can be a risk for ice cream. But we also see it in deli meats, and that's what we're seeing it in this time.
Okay. So, as I mentioned, three people have died. Quite a few people have been sick. I believe like 12 people hospitalized by this. Just here locally. I mean, I will say we buy Boar's Head at our house. And we had some of the deli meat that was recalled. We took it back in. They gave us a refund and all of the deli meat was pulled. And I just noticed recently that there's some Boar's Head back on the shelves. It's just some of it. But with that said, Dr. Pate, one thing that I read, and please clarify this, because this is what freaked me out as a consumer, is that they said it can be up to 10 weeks before you get symptoms of Listeria sometimes. Is that true?
It can. Most often it's within 2 weeks. Even be pretty short after, but if it's a very wide range, and it can be as long as that, but that's not the usual case. Usually people are going to be sick within a couple of weeks if they are. And so typically what we see is the people that are at greatest risk are those who are pregnant, those that are over 65, and those that are immunocompromised. That's the group most likely to end up in the hospital or with severe illness. Some people get sick and it's so mild, they don't really even notice. And then other people, they get sick, but they don't end up hospitalized. In this outbreak, actually 43 people were hospitalized.
Oh,
but all the cases that we've seen so far, it's all been tied to people in the Midwest and East Coast. The CDC is not reporting any cases in the Western United States. I don't know if we will end up seeing some based on the point you just made, that it can be a while till those cases occur, or whether the recall stopped it before some of that those meat products got distributed this far west.
Okay, so with that said, at this point, Dr. Pate, if you're concerned, I mean, people should look at the products that they have, right? And if they're within, that's what I did. I went to the Boar's Head website. It's all on there. You can figure out what you have. And then from there, is there anything else people should do besides maybe throwing that product away if it falls within that timeline?
Right. So if you do have prepackaged or sliced deli meat, check to see if it's on that list. If it is, then yes, you need to throw it away, but you need to be a little mindful. So one of the things is the meat will not smell bad. Listeria does not make it smell bad like a lot of other bad rotting bacteria. So you won't be able to tell based on smell. You just need to get rid of it. But you also need to get rid of anything that else that's touching it in your refrigerator, because the Listeria can move from that meat to whatever it's touching. And so if you had stuff, let's say you put it in one of those little refrigerator drawers, I'd just get rid of everything that's in that drawer. If not, just see if it's touching anything else and then bag it up and get rid of it in your trash. But it can be on your hands after touching the meat. So wash your hands really thoroughly. And then what I would do is after I got rid of it and I washed my hands really good, I'd go ahead and take other stuff out of my refrigerator, put it on the counter, and then just mix some. Listeria does not like heat. So just mix some warm or hot water. Be sure not to burn yourself. Make it soapy with some dishwashing soap, whatever. And then just wash out your refrigerator and then put those items that weren't touching it back in the refrigerator, and you should be good to go.
Okay. The CDC, and this came out, I believe, yesterday or the day before, Dr. Pate, is reporting that more than half of the states here in the United States are now reporting incredibly high cases of COVID. So we have talked about this for the last couple of weeks because we know we're seeing more cases here in Idaho. But what should folks be doing right now, Dr. Pate, in particular because school is starting? West Ada School District started today. I think some schools in the Boise School District started today. Like we are back in that mode.
Well, you're exactly right. And it's unfortunate timing because this current wave is very high, just as you've mentioned. I just looked at the city of Boise water testing, and the level right now is about the same as it was at the very end of the calendar year when we were having that big surge.
Oh.
And the number is still shooting straight up. So obviously we've not peaked. And unfortunately, you take that and now put a whole bunch of kids in school together when schools have not done anything to address their air ventilation and handling. It is a recipe. We're going to see those cases go much higher because we know now that kids, in fact, do help to spread the COVID virus, and they take it to their homes. So what you're going to need to know is that if you get sick at home, be having that on your mind and test. If you have somebody at home that's high risk, what you want to do is test, because if they are positive, then you can get them started on Paxlovid if they're a candidate. It also means stay up with your vaccines and understand that this is going to be a risk now that everybody's in school, and we're seeing a very high spike. So it is going to be a significant risk.
So I want to get to some listener questions before I let you go today, Dr. Pate. Speaking of vaccines, Scott wrote in. and said, my partner and I are traveling to Europe in October. We're wondering if it would be advisable to get a booster before we go. We're hesitant because of the severe side effects that we get, but we are under 40. We had COVID in early July, but it sounds like rates are going up again. So we want to be safe while abroad, but also recognize that the booster won't necessarily stop us from contracting the disease, just lessen the symptoms.
Yeah, that's a great question. Under normal circumstances, with someone traveling to Europe, I would definitely recommend that they get vaccinated before they go. Not only is there a lot of spread over in Europe, but you don't want to be sick and caught with that overseas. Unfortunately for them, they've got two problems. One, because they just had COVID, this would be too early to vaccinate. We typically want to wait 4 months after the infection to vaccinate. So it's too soon. The other problem is with them being 40 or under, they're probably not going to qualify unless their doctor were to make an exception for them. So I think what they got to do is realize that they just need to take other precautions that we've talked about, the many things that they can do besides just the vaccine, and have fun, but be safe. And then if they manage not to get COVID, then just remember, they'll be about the right time when they get home to be looking at this new version vaccine that's going to be offered here in the United States. And they should definitely get that.
And then, Dr. Payne, another listener wrote in recently saying, I am appalled at the price I have to pay for COVID tests. How can poor people ever afford them now?
Yeah, and people didn't realize the benefit that we got from the government subsidizing these tests for us. So the first thing is, if you have insurance, check with your insurer. Particularly, a lot of the Medicare Advantage plans do give you some coverage for a certain number of these tests, and you won't have to pay for them. So check with your plan. The other thing is, if you are unable to afford it, if you're low income enough that this would be an issue, then there are several government programs that may get you testing. First of all, you can go online, look for test to treat sites, so that if you are having symptoms, there's not many of them in Idaho, but you can look to see if there's a test to treat program. That's usually at a pharmacy, and that means you can go there. They can actually do the test on you, and then they can actually give you the Paxlovid if you qualify. That's what the test to treat is. So you can check that out. The other thing is we have a lot of clinics that do take care of indigent folks or people that don't have insurance. You can check those clinics, because you may be able to get free testing through there. And then there's a government program called ICAT that you can check. So you can just do a search there and look and see if there's a place where you could get the tests.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
New from the Embedded podcast. Female athletes have always needed grit and talent. But for decades, they've also needed a certificate.
There was chit-chat about, is that really a woman?
And even now, they're still being checked and questioned. Their story is the newest series from CBC and NPR's Embedded. It's called Tested. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.